Just bear with me for those of you guys that are new here this morning. Welcome with us. It's so awesome to have you here for the first time. And it is just really beautiful to spend a couple of minutes in God's Word. But as we were looking at storms, we know that there were two types of storms. There are storms that you can be prepared for, and there are storms that are the unprepared storms, the storms that come from nowhere. And we found out that it's so often in those times when we have the storms that we don't see coming, it's in those times where our character will be tested to the very, very edge of what we think we can bear. And do you know what? God says that my grace is sufficient for you, because He's the God of the hills and He's the God of the valleys. So regardless of where you are, whether you're up, whether you're down, whether you're in good time or not so good times, God is sovereign and His grace is sufficient for you and for me. And it's very important that we know that we have got a very big responsibility, because we cannot choose what happens to us, but we can choose on how we respond. All right? Character. How we respond. So last week we started with Ephesians 5, 1:20. And why I kind of focused on that is because Paul speaks from prison, and he's speaking to the Ephesians, and he's not really speaking about the first part about how great God is, and he sets all the standards in place in the first three chapters, but he's kind of moving towards the second part of Ephesians as more encouragement. He's saying, okay, well, there's a race that must be run. Keep your feet from stumbling. But he says here, dearly beloved children of God, walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. That was what last week was all about. And the sacrifice that Jesus made for us made it all possible for us to be able to respond in kind. And then it also says there should be no obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking. And we had a look at that. And make sure that you, I know there's a saying, birds of a feather flock together, all right? In Afrikaans, we've got soort, soek soort. One kind looks for another kind, and you kind of have a kindred spirit amongst each other. And then sometimes the spanner slips and some words pops out, and then it becomes colloquial talk between whenever you were that kind. Oh, it's okay. He's like, it's my, you know, and it kind of drifts a little bit away from pure and holy talk. All right. So make sure that you keep yourself on the straight and narrow as far as talking is concerned. But now, I'd like to bring us to the next part later on in Scripture. It says here, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. I'd like to remind you that we are all open books to God. Whether you think you can hide something from Him or not, I'm here just to remind you that God sees everything. God is omni. What did Pastor Mark teach us? He said He's omnipresent. It means He is in all places. There's not a single place that we can go. This is whether I make my bed in the heights or in the depth. All right? God is there and He will find us. He knows exactly where we are in life. He knows your circumstances. He knows the wrong decisions that you've made. And He also shares with us when there are good things happening to us. Why? Because we are His children. Man, I know as a father that if something happens to my kids and it's good things, oh man, I celebrate with them. All the dads here would associate with me. You want what's good for your children. Why? Because God gave us an instruction. He says, bring up a child in the ways of the Lord and they will never depart from it. That is my single focus right now in raising my kids. Why? Because I want to be a good dad. I want to be able to pass on the proverbial baton to my kids so that they can progress in the work of God, and so that the kingdom of God can be established through what I've given them. Now, if there's one dad here that doesn't share that desire, come and see me. Let me pray for you, all right? Because it's so important. That's the reason why we've got children. Now, why does God therefore call us his children? Because by everyone that has accepted Christ and what he's done, he's given the right. He's given the right to be called what? The sons of God. He places so much emphasis on family. So therefore, live as children of the light. You know, I was pondering about light. And the very first memory that I had growing up, and I'm going to take you to a farm that was pretty much about a mile away from the closest road. So to give you an extent of how far the house was from the road. And there was a turn on the main road that would feed into all the different farms in our area. And as the car would come by in the evenings, darkness, and the car would come by, it would start miraculously through the window. Now, bearing in mind, this is from very far distance, maybe 1.5 miles away. This light would come from the one side of the room, and it would move over to the other side. In pitch darkness, from 2 miles away, that car still shed its light in my room. And me and my brother, we were naughty because we didn't always go to bed when mom and dad said so. So we were like talking with each other and we're saying, do you think there's going to be another light coming? And the greatest thing was to try and catch the light. So there we were, him in his bed, me in my bed, and we shared a bedroom. We were, like I said, we were of humble beginnings, let's just put it like that. And we were all, as the kids, we were in one room, and we were all trying to catch the light as it was moving on. That was great fun. I'm talking about maybe when I was 3 or 4 years old. But I remember that there were evenings that I was not quite comfortable being in the dark. Have you ever experienced that? Where you're in a dark place, and all of a sudden, what happens? You feel a little bit, oh man, the older you get, the more careful you want to place your feet, because you might strike something, or you might stumble over something in the darkness. So we've become very cautious, all right? You've never been to a certain place or a certain house before, and it's all dark. What's the first thing that happens in your mind? You're like, oh, let's just take it easier. All right, let's take a step back. Is there any way that we can illuminate? So what does light do? Light illuminates. It exposes the things. So it takes that which was hidden and it brings it out into the open so that we don't have to be afraid. Or so that we can take heed of what we see. So the light exposed. Now, Pastor Mark, when he spoke about this, I cannot remember, it was one axiom. Man, I've just been taught so much with him. But he was speaking about, in his closet, he was putting on a blazer jacket. And in the darkness of the room, it was all okay. But then once he stepped into the light, oh, there was a spot here and there was something wrong there. Can you remember that sermon or that occasion? And that's exactly what light does. Light exposes. And the moment that Christ comes into us, we receive the light of God. And what he then systematically does is, because we are his children, he starts to expose these things in our lives. And Trey said it so beautifully about 3 weeks ago. He said, and there is a part of your real estate in your heart that has not been 100% surrendered to the Lordship of Christ. He exposes those things. And let me just tell you, we haven't arrived yet. I haven't arrived at that place where God has done with me yet. God has not done with you or with you or with you. Up until the point where we breathe our last and God says now, because he's the author and finisher of our lives, he says until now, this is your last breath. He's ordained the amount of breath that you will take, the amount of times that your heart will beat. He knows, omniscient, not only omnipresent, but omniscient. He knows it all from the beginning to the end. Beautiful to be able to place our lives in the hand of such a powerful, kind, loving God. But up until the point where he calls us home, there's still opportunity to correct things because we need to live as children of the light. I'm thinking about the sun. What does the sun do? The sun brings warmth and it also brings light. All right. So we need the sun to be able to grow crops. So think about the light that God brings into your life. What does it do? The moment that there's light, there is growth. There's something that takes place. And the more light you get, the more the photosynthesis takes place, and we become, in turn, the photosynthesis, carbon dioxide, carbon dioxide in, and then photosynthesize and oxygen out. Is that correct? It's not carbon monoxide, carbon dioxide, all right. So that is what God does to us. He brings light and he grows us. But when he grows us, there is something beautiful that takes place. He takes that which was the carbon dioxide in our lives. What does he do? He turns it around into oxygen. Not only for ourselves, but for everyone around us. Can you understand the impact of what I'm saying? Is God takes the ugly sin, and through the blood of Jesus, he turns that around, and he turns that into something useful so that you can have compassion. And then Romans speaks about the gift of mercy, so that you can have mercy with someone else. Why? Because you've been through it. And the very thing that you have surrendered in the real estate of your heart, God takes that and he says, I will make it new. Why? Because my light is in you. And the moment the light is in there, there's growth. The stronger you become to resist the devil, and he will flee. Can you understand? Amen. Can you understand? That is what God does. Out of darkness into his glorious light. Oh man, I get excited because this is for me, as I was looking into it, it is such basic information. What I'm teaching here comes out of God's word. It's in a caution, but God does it. He takes us from darkness into his light. It also brings clarity so that we don't have to be afraid, like I said. And it comforts. It comforts. I definitely believe that the moment that there's light in the situation, the moment that God brings the light into your heart, he not only turns it around, but he makes it to the benefit for everybody. But here is a very important thing that I picked up here. It says, live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. Why? Because the moment that you have tasted and you've seen that God is good, the moment that you have tasted the restoration of his Holy Spirit in your life, why, oh, why do we want to go back to the food pots of Egypt when he's taken you out of slavery? So here's a warning. We need to polish up the parts of our lives, all right? So even in situations, we need to expose them. We need to pray for God to bring clarity because the truth will set you free. And this is not so that you can judge others, because the Bible says, judge not lest ye be judged. In the same manner that you have bestowed judgment upon someone else, you will also be judged. Such a beautiful scripture is where Jesus teaches us how to pray. He says, forgive us, Father, as we forgive those that sin against us, that trespass against us. There is a very distinct call for us to respond and live as children of the light. Do you know, for me, when I think about the words of Jesus, obviously being the predominant teaching, and I stand corrected, but what I've taken is he spoke about the kingdom. And the reason why he spoke about the kingdom is because there is a structure in the kingdom. There are rules in the kingdom. And it's within the rules that you'll find the freedom. Pastor Mark, the other day, he said to me, He said, why is it so easy for me to be able to say to someone that is submitted, do this and do that? Because the moment that the moment you submit, there is freedom in that submission. There's a covering in the kingdom. Why? Because we've got a king. His name is Jesus. You see, I can give up being king of my life. Because chances are, if I had a good, decent go at it, I'd make a good, decent mess out of it. Because I'm going to try and act in my own strength. But bless the Lord, I've given my life to the Lordship every single inch. Maybe not. As I said, as he exposes things, I have to deal with those things. And as I deal with those things, he changes that. All right. Now, if we think about the kingdom, there's a couple of things that I would like to say here. And I have got another 12, 13 minutes. So I'm going to try and so bear with me here. In a kingdom, it's very important for me that you, and I touched on this last week, we carry the name of Christ wherever we go. What does that practically mean? That means if I was born into a Greek family, I'm Greek. I would speak Greek. I would associate with Greek people. So if I, for instance, any Greek people, if I would say, "Είμαι πολύ ευχαριστημένος να είμαι εδώ μαζί μας," then I would say, anybody understood that? And you'd say, no, it was all Greek to me, right? Because it was. And what I just basically said, Simera, today, Είμαι πολύ ευχαριστημένος, I'm very glad, να είμαι, to be, μαζί μας, with you guys, all right? So that's what I said. And what if I changed it to Italian? Per me, è un grande piacere di essere qui con voi. Any Italian-speaking people here? No, because no one would be able to associate. Can you see there's a language that is going with the association of the Italian? But does it change the fact I'm not Italian? All right, my grand was, but I'm not. I'm South African, born and bred in South Africa. But my point being, if I was in Italy, the moment that I'm under the kingdom or in the kingdom, what happens? I can then start to speak Italian. And guess what? The other people would, by association, by culture, they would be able to take it in. Likewise, if I go to Greece, I'm not going to be lost. I'm going to be able to go and speak Greek to my fellow Greek people there. Why? Because I've taken on there by association. All right, I'm in their kingdom. Now, what is the kingdom of God about? The kingdom of God, I dare say, has got a language of its own. And God clearly instructs us how to speak. You see, he says, what is the first thing? Start with an attitude, 3 weeks ago, attitude of gratitude. Come into my presence with thanksgiving into your heart, into my courts with praise. He speaks and he gives us direct instruction of how to speak. Now, as children of the light, we are actually carrying the name of the kingdom, the heavenly kingdom. We're called Christians. We carry the name of Christ wherever we are. Man, I almost took it so seriously. I haven't got a second or a middle name. I don't know why. My sister had one and my brother has got two middle names. I thought he was very important. All right, I was just David. Okay. But I thought, what if I had to give myself a second name? What would it be? We had a discussion, Joshua and myself, this week also about the second name. But I said, as Christian. I'm actually David Christian Huister. If you come to think of it, I carry the name of Christ with me. I've been adopted into the family of God. So therefore, I've got a responsibility to act in accordance. And what do we call those? We call those ambassadors. These are diplomatic folk. They go and they speak on behalf of the kingdom in a foreign land. Therefore, we're in this world, but not of this world. Exactly. All right? So we are staying. We are strangers. We are foreigners. We are aliens here, but we still carry the name of Christ with us. We are still ambassadors of a heavenly kingdom. And guess what? If any of Trump's ambassadors fluffs up in another country, what's going to happen? He's going to lose his job. He's going to be reprimanded. He's going to be disciplined. Can you guess where this is going? Likewise, God says, remain in me and let my words remain in you. God prunes us. If we abide in God, He will prune us so that we will be able to bear more fruit. He disciplines us because He loves us. But we are ambassadors of this kingdom. We speak in a certain way, and we carry His name. We also have to act according to this. We have to live as children of the light and find out what pleases the Lord. Why? Because we represent the Lord. Do you know what someone said to me the other day? I heard this from another church where we were involved in South Africa. But it says to me, please don't talk to me because your actions are shouting louder than the words that are coming from your mouth. Think about it. Your actions are shouting louder than what you're trying to say. So please don't talk to me. And when we represent God, we have to be very mindful that God sees it all. He knows it all. And because of the light, He will expose it all. Oh, but there's hope. Because we serve a God of hope. We serve a God that takes us, and He takes us not from where we were, but He brings us, and He walks a road with us. And together as one body, as part of one kingdom, He says to us, by this all men will know that you are my disciples for the love that you've got one from another. Do you know what? I don't care how much you know until I know how much you care. And I don't say that lightly because I love studying God's word. I love speaking to people who are like-minded and who would like to find out the more deeper intricacies. But so often, we are so spiritually minded that we are no earthly good. And I say this very carefully. We are trying to become so schooled and so indulged in, that was Siri, most probably, so Siri. And we become so indulged in the things that we forget about the basics. We forget about loving people. We forget about caring for people. We forget, you know what? But you know, they did this, they did that, they said this, they act in this way, they live in that kind of lifestyle. Okay, what is your responsibility? Love them. Because by this, all men, what does it speak? All men outside of the kingdom or inside the kingdom, all men will know that you are my disciples. He speaks not about his disciples. He's not preaching to the choir right there. He speaks about all men will know that you are my disciples by the way that you love one another. Not for a moment can we forsake to not live as children of the light. We need to make sure that we act as ambassadors of a heavenly kingdom. We need to make sure that we speak when we speak as ambassadors of the kingdom. We need to make sure, man, I tell you what, God knows my heart. That spanner has slipped, and every time it's like, oh, this is so sore, Lord God. And I turn it into a prayer. And I'm not saying because I've mastered that, I'm better than anybody. There's not one righteous, no, not even. But bless the Lord for your forgiveness and for his blood that was spilled for one and all of us. But that is something that in our family was taboo. You don't curse. Okay, you smack your finger with a hammer and the nail, and you get into a very close proximity to that, and it hurts. But even when it hurts, make sure that you speak in accordance of the kingdom that you represent. That having been said, that you want to remain in the kingdom, that means that you want to do what is pleasing to God. This is your choice. I can bring the horse to the water, but I cannot make him drink. Has been said. But we can feed the horse salt so that this horse becomes thirsty, because that's what salt does. Do you know what I'm saying? And when Jesus says to us, be therefore the salt of the earth, What is he saying? He's saying, love people. Bring them to the water, but love people. Make them so thirsty. And he says, if you would just bring them to the living water, I will give you. What did he say to the lady from Samaria at the well? He says, if you give me water, if you listen, I will give you water, eternal water, and you will thirst no more. Church, we need to live as children of the light. I've got 7 minutes, and I would like to quickly go through to the Old Testament. Joshua asked me a very interesting question this week. And he said, Dad, if you had the choice, where would you like to live in time? Which era in time? And he was just talking about the 70s, the 80s, or the 90s. That was in his mind. But the moment he said it, I thought, oh my word, that opens up a whole different avenue for me. Would I want to live in the time of Jesus? Walk with Jesus? Most probably that would be my first choice, to sit at the feet of the King of Kings in an earthly body and observe and live. Or Middle Ages, where we would have been burned at the stake for following Jesus. Or before Jesus, in the time of Isaiah. Hey, my word, where would you live? I just thought that is such an interesting thing. How is this applicable today, David, to what we do? I would just like to encourage you that I believe that we are all alive in this time for a time such as this. God has ordained you to walk the earth. I would have loved to have walked with Jesus and meet him face to face. All right? But he has ordained my steps, so I will find peace today to live in this era. And if we go to the story of David and Goliath, and with this I will definitely wrap up. Because here is David. In a little bit of hindsight, David was a shepherd boy. And he was minding his dad's sheep because that was the wealth of that time. That's the way that they traded, and sheep for oxen to work the field, and camels for long distance travel and transport. All right, but sheep was very, very meek, and he was the shepherd. And then what happened is Samuel then anointed David king. All right. And then, as there was Jonathan, I believe, was Saul's, one of Saul's sons. Man, he made some trouble with the Philistines and attacked them. And then what happened is there was this one big giant, 9 feet tall, 3 meters in length, very, very tall, 9 feet 9 to be precise. And man, that is, I'm 2 meters. Now, cut me in half, don't do that. But if you cut me in half and just add another one, that is the dimensions that you had when you looked at Goliath. And then he hears this cussing and mocking of God's people. And he goes to his brothers and he's taking food and he says, who is this guy? Oh, sure, he's big, but who is this guy that is making a mockery of our God and our decrees? Who is this heathen? And he says to his guys, I'm going to take him out. He says it. I'm going to take this guy out. Said, okay, well, now you need to go and see the king. You know, this is big, big stuff, you know, on the front line. And Saul says, well, all right, I guess this is... This is okay, but as we read his words to Saul, he says this. He says, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic, put a coat on armor on him, and a bronze helmet on his head. And David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around. Just give you a little of an idea. He was smaller in stature than Saul. And because he was not used to them, he says, I cannot go in these, he said to Saul, because I'm not used to them. So he took them off, and he took his staff in his hand, and he chose 5 smooth stones from the stream and put them in the pouch of his shepherd bag. And with his sling in hand, he approached the Philistine. Let's just pause there for 2 seconds. What happened here? The Philistine didn't speak directly to David. Can we agree on that? He spoke generally. He was like, oh. He was using his mouth to make decrees and cuss and really defile the ears of the Israelites there, instilling fear because he's a big brute. David comes and he says to Saul, okay, remember, copy a master, listen to the master, copy the master, become a master. Where did he practice? He practiced in the fields. He practiced with the lion, he practiced with the bear. And he was doing that because he was taking care of his dad's business. He says, this guy is not worse than those guys. I can take him out. What does he do? He answers Saul in experience. Think about it. In experience. I've done this. I can do this. I can take him on. But then, meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him, and he said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. He's come here, and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals. And David said to the Philistine, love this, you come against me with a sword and a spear and a javelin. And here is the difference in what he says. But I come to you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And this day, he goes one step further, he says, this day, he's telling him about his fortune. He says, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. What is the difference? In the first case, he spoke to Saul. Remember, we're speaking about being an ambassador for the kingdom? Here's a guy, he's small, he sees a giant, he says, I'm not going to have this. He goes to Saul. Saul says to him, listen, this is a big boy. Are you sure? He says, yeah, I'm sure. I've killed the bear, I've killed the lion, I can take him out, I'm okay. He speaks in experience. Okay? Now what happens here? Now he is physically confronted by the enemy. What does he do? How does he confront Goliath? Because I killed a bear and a lion, I'm going to take you. That's what boxers do. Think about it. And you still feel, no. What does David do? He changes the way that he talks. Why? Because this is where the rubber meets the road. And he speaks and he starts to act in Hebrews 11, faith. He starts to speak the things that are not. And he starts to speak. He says, not by my strength, but by the strength of the God who you have cursed, who you have defied. God will give me the strength. Can you see the difference? Experience to convince Saul? Because he knew that was not where the battle needed to be won. The battle needed to be won here. When Goliath was in front of him, this was his storm. This was his EF5 tornado coming right for him. How did he respond? Church, with this I'm closing. I thank you so much for listening intently to me. You guys have been awesome. But here is what I'm saying is when the enemy comes in, what does the Bible say? When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up the standard against him. When the enemy comes into your life and it confronts you, and this enemy is 9 feet 9 tall, and it's telling you of all the things that you have done wrong, and all the things that you are not supposed to be doing, and all the things that you have missed in your culture and in your upbringing, and the kingdom that you represent, activate that faith. David, how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the preaching of the Word of God. Church, we all face giants in our lives. We all face storms. I know, but there's hope. There is hope and an eternal King. It's time that we stand up. We recognize that we are ambassadors of this kingdom and that we live as children of the light. Amen?
Amen.
Won't you just close your eyes?